Ephesians. We stop at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9. This morning we shall focus only on one verse, and that is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, and the topic is saved for service. I'd like to read to you from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. May God bless us in the reading of his most holy and sacred word. We live in a world that is evil, that is wicked. We live in a world that once upon a time crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to show the world that he was indeed God incarnate. He came, he lived, and man's response was, we rejected him, we crucified him, and then he died. The world that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ some 2,000 years ago had not changed. Perhaps in state, the world had got even darker, if that were ever possible. We live in a world where darkness, sin, evil, wickedness prevailed. What is sinful, what is evil, what is called abomination in the Bible is now called holy and good and righteous and acceptable. Truth is now called a lie. A lie is now called the truth. This is the world that we are living in. Why did God allow us, his children, to live in this sin-sick world that desires to destroy Christ, to destroy his work, and destroy all those who want to do the work of Jesus Christ? The reason is simple. God has a plan. God still loved this world. And as long as Jesus Christ remains on this earth, he will continue to be the light to this world that is still in spiritual darkness. Enoch, the Bible said, he walked with God. And then the Bible said, he was not, because God took him. And then the Bible also said, Noah, he walked with God. And then God asked him, build me an ark. Show the world, preach to the world, that there is a Savior whom they can turn to so that they will not need to die in sin and find themselves in hell. So you have Enoch who walked with God and God took him. You have Noah who walked with God and God said, you stay behind and you serve me. It is still the same today. There will be those who belong to the Enoch generation. But God will save them and then God will take them home. Because immediately after they accept Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior, with all their heart, everyone is already suitable, fit, ready for heaven. If you and I were to go to heaven right now as God's children, you don't have to do any more work. God doesn't have to do anything more in us. We're already fit for heaven. That is the Enoch generation. And there are many who are like this. They died after accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in hospital beds, like the thief who hung on the cross. Jesus said to him, today you shall be with me in paradise. But there will also be the Noah generation. After salvation, God says, you remain behind. You have a message to tell the world. And that is the only reason that you must know that you are to remain behind. Because your Heavenly Father wants to put you in the safest place that is in heaven. But because of this urgent mission that God has entrusted to all of us, that God has now put us on earth in harm's way. Because he knows that while you and I are on this earth, we will come under the assault of the evil one. and his hosts, the many demons, as well as the many human beings who will follow the evil one with his evil deceptions and his teachings. God knows this, and God wants us to know this too, because when you and I know this, then you would arm yourself, you would guard yourself. When you know this, then your life on this earth will not be aimless, so that when you know this, you will no longer allow the world with all its deceptions to lure you away, so that the philosophies of the world cannot hold sway, control your mind and your heart. Because God knows that this is a dangerous world. You live in a world whereby they need to see Christ in you. They can't see your soul. They can't see your heart. They cannot see that you are children of God by some kind of external aura. God did not save us and give us a glorified body to serve Him. If He were to do that, there will be big problems. The big problem would be people will see you as different. They will see that you will have the glorified body. And then when you give them the gospel, and you will have to tell them, you mean if I accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I will also have this glorified body that is indestructible, that will never die, that will never be plagued by any virus or disease? Of course they will accept that kind of gospel. But then they will accept by sight, not by faith. And God says, I want you to believe me by faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please me. And that means God wants us to serve Him in the same mortal flesh, same mortal body that we have before we were born again and after we are born again. And this is the mortal flesh that God has given to us that will look the same as everybody else in terms of mortality, in terms of weakness, in terms of tiredness, in terms of hunger, everything else, the infirmities, we will still have. But everything else will be different. Our thinking will be different. Our motive, our heart will be different. And because our thinking is different, our heart is different, therefore our lives will be changed automatically. Because when the inside is transformed, the outside will follow suit. It is true that there are those who are wolves in sheep's clothing. They come into the church and they will pretend to have an external form of godliness. And the Bible warns us that these are those whom God has ordained for destruction. They are such people whom Satan will allow and plot and plan to allow them to get in. And they will do their utmost to try to undermine the faith. They will come in to Bible colleges and dressed up as professors of seminary teachers, professors of theology, and they will enter into seminaries and Bible colleges to destroy them, because they know that these are the HQ where pastors are trained, so that churches that are fundamental and sound today, if they do not have good, sound, fundamental pastors in the future, no matter how strong they are in the present, they will also die. He knows that, and he understands that so well, that he has been invading, attacking, undermining, and sadly succeeding in destroying many seminaries and Bible colleges. And he also did not stop there, of course. He also allowed them to infiltrate into churches. And these will come in the form of leaders, because that is where they can do the greatest harm and damage. When you have congregation members who are wolves in sheep's clothing, they can do their utmost to disrupt the congregation, but the damage done is only minimal. But when the leaders are wolves in sheep's clothing, as pastors and as elders, the damage they can do is enormous. Churches will split. Lives will be ruined. You will be confused because you do not know who is right and who is wrong. And you do not know where to go, who to follow, if you do not know God's word and God's truth. This is what church life is. This is what we are seeing and experiencing And if we are not careful, you'll find the Calvary Pandan will also become a casualty by the wayside, where the word Ichabod will be used. Ichabod means the glory of God has departed. You do not want God to look at us and use that word to describe us. Now, the church is not the building. Please understand this. The church is every one of you. Every one of you who come week after week to worship and to praise Him and then go out into the world to live for Him. And you must therefore know why you are here on earth, saved for service. To whom do you serve? Is it God or is it mammon? Is it God or mammon? Ask yourself one very simple question. Who are you serving? You are serving. Either way you look at it, you are serving. That's who we are. We are slaves. Before that, we were slaves to sin. We were slaves to mammon. After we are born again in Christ, we are now slave to God, slave to righteousness. That's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 6. Very, very clear. Romans 5 and 6. Now the question is this. You mean a Christian can also end up serving mammon? Yes. You look at Lot. He was a prime example to warn us of what not to become. Because he was not saved for serving God. He went out and served mammon. And what was the outcome of his life? First, he lost his family. Second, he lost his credibility. Because when the two angels came to tell him the truth, and then Lot believed in what the message was, by tomorrow morning, fire and brimstone will descend from heaven, and Sodom and Gomorrah and all the cities within the vicinity will be consumed and destroyed. He believed. He went out and tell his family, his daughter who was married. He told them. The response was, don't kid, don't joke. Please leave. We don't believe you. They died when the fire and brimstone came. He lost his credibility because he served mammon. Third thing to note, what Lord refused to let go willingly the way that Uncle Abraham did, God took it away from him by force. Because when fire and brimstone came and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, all Lot had was in Sodom and Gomorrah. He had nothing else. The two angels literally dragged him, his wife, and his two unmarried daughters out of the city. And the wife could not bear to lose her money, her wealth, her belonging. And so she turned back and looked at the city when she was commanded not to. And then she turned into a pillar of salt. Fourth thing to note. Because of him, he influenced and affected the wife. Because he was the head of the home. He was supposed to be the spiritual leader. And the wife, her heart was still in Sodom. Even though her body was halfway out of Sodom, she broke the word of God and she turned back and she died. Was she born again? We just do not know. Because the Bible says only all those who came out are born again. Was she out or in? Whom do you serve? You have been saved. Are you saved? Yes or no? Because if you are saved, the Bible says you have been quickened. The Holy Spirit now lives in you. You are already able to sit together with God in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We talked about that earlier. That means you're already fit for heaven. Then why are we not in heaven? Because God says, I want you to stay behind. To let them know that Jesus Christ is still on earth. But how is Jesus on earth? Jesus is seated at God's right hand. Jesus is on earth through us, through you, through all of us who are God's children. That's why Jesus says immediately after salvation, he told the disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, you are now the light. You are now the light to a world that is in darkness. Whose light? Jesus Christ's light. You are now to tell the world, look at my life, please. That's what it means to be a Christian. Every time you open your mouth and tell somebody you're a Christian, when you tell your children, mommy, daddy, we are Christians. Do you know what that means? That means, please look at my life. You will see Christ. That's the meaning of the word when it was first coined in the book of Acts. When the enemies of Christ look at the disciples of Jesus Christ, they said that these people, everywhere they went, they preached Christ. Everywhere they went, they continued to live for Christ. Let us call them Christians. That's how the term came into being. And that meaning still stands today. And that's how Jesus will continue to be the light to a world that is in darkness. It is through your life and through my life. Please understand what this means. Saved for service. That's who we are, and that's who we must be. Because to be somebody else and call ourselves Christians, we are like a soldier who is wearing the uniform of an enemy. But you belong to God's army. But why are you wearing the uniform of Satan's army? Now, that is an illustration of one who is born again. A person who is not born again, a wolf in sheep's clothing, he is a soldier that belongs to Satan's army, but he puts on the garment of God's army. And so he comes in here. Externally, he looks like a Christian, but inwardly, he still follows Satan. He's not born again. Now, if you are truly born again and you don't live the life of a Christian, you are like Lot, an example to warn us not to follow. That brand of Christianity is deadly. Please do not follow his example. It is a warning to tell us. Because your loved ones around you, they are on their way to hell because of your disastrous testimony. Please don't do that to your loved ones, to your family, to your friends, to your colleagues. Please don't do that. That's what Lot did. You mean you want to do that to the people in your life that God has given to you? God saved you and God put you here and God gave you a world. And this world will be the people in your life. Before you are born again, you have a world. God was preparing you. You did not know that you were being prepared. God was preparing you. After salvation, now you know. And after salvation, this world that you are now consciously aware of because your eyes have been opened, that you are now the child of God, that you have been saved for service. So now this world, how long you have on this earth to impact and influence this world, only God knows. And this world needs to see Christ. Because this world that you have is made up of believers and unbelievers. For unbelievers, they need to see Christ in order to be saved. For believers, they need to see Christ in you to be encouraged, because some of them are going through difficult times. So either way, your life is important. And this is the only time in eternity whereby your life can impact and influence other people's lives like never before. You are mortal in this mortal flesh and blood body. But you can change and impact people's lives and turn sinners into saints. Can impact eternity, even though everything about you is temporal. Do you realize that? That's how wonderful this life is. And that's why the Bible says in verse 10, for we are His workmanship. Whose workmanship? His. That's God's. The word workmanship, the focus is not on the act of working. The focus is on the product. This is like a fabric. You know a piece of cloth? A fabric. And then you have a lot of threads, like a person who is now forming, making this fabric. He will use thread. And then he will make this fabric. You and I are like this fabric. God is now making you, shaping you for what? Not to make you more holy to go to heaven. You're already fit for heaven. Please understand this. What is God doing? Why are we His workmanship? In what way? For what purpose? The purpose is service. The workmanship means God wants you to reflect every day the image of Christ. And God wants this image to become clearer and clearer and clearer with every passing day. That's what it means by this workmanship. The image of Christ, the moment you are born again, maybe is comprised of only a few threads. And so the people cannot see the image of Christ in your life very clearly because you are just born again. And with the passage of time, through the study of God's Word, through the obedience to the Word of God, through your prayer life, through your life of holiness, after 5 years, 10 years, more and more of the image of Christ is now clearer. That means now more and more, those who do knitting and sewing, you would know. Right when you're born again, only a few pieces of thread. And then as the image becomes clearer and clearer, more of it will be seen. Now, maybe one quarter of your face all covered by the image of Christ. More and more with the passage of time. How long will it take? A lifetime. That's why the Apostle Paul says, I will never, never stop. Because it will take a lifetime. And that's why you must continue to study and to live a holy life, the Word of God, and to obey the Word of God, because you will always be His workmanship. His working in your life, working in your life, working in your life, that the image of Christ will become clearer and clearer and clearer and clearer. That's exactly what you are here for, nothing else. The moment they don't see Christ, the purpose that God has given to you on this earth has now been rendered null and void. When you live for the world, when you walk after the flesh, when you're motivated by promotion and mammon and money, and that's all you care about, either you are like Lot or you are not born again. Either way, it's a misery. Either way, it's a misery. Misery for you because you deceive yourself. If you are not born again and you talk only, but you are not really born again. Misery to others because they can't see Christ in you. Not only can they not see Christ in you, they see a distorted Christ because you tell them you're a Christian. And then they look at your life, they can't see anything spiritual. And then they will, like the friends and the family of Lot, be burned up by fire and brimstone one day, and they will find themselves in hell. You must know that you are His workmanship. You are the fabric that God is weaving and making. That's you. For sanctification, for service. Please understand this. So that the image of Christ may be clearer and clearer. That's what the Bible says. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. After Jesus Christ saved us, He continued to change us, transform us, to make us, to work in us, so that the image of Christ in us becomes sharper and clearer and clearer. So you ask yourself, very simple. Ask yourself, are you a better, more mature Christian last week than this week? Last year than this year? Last month than this month? Because if you are not, there's something wrong. Because there's no neutrality. Because if you are not becoming more and more like Christ, then you're becoming more and more like the world. No two other ways. No third option. Either A or B. No third option. You must realize this. You and I are given the greatest privilege and honor by God to know the purpose of your existence, to know why you are born into this world, to know why you are living in this world. Why do you want to ignore this or exchange this for something that is temporal, that is wicked, that is sinful? Is there any other image better than the image of Christ? Pray tell. Seriously. If you do not want to reflect the image of Christ by the way that you live, all right, what image do you think is good? There are people out there. They think that they are very good basketball players. And so they are going to dress like the one basketball player that they look up to. They're going to dress like them. They're going to learn their moves. They're going to play like them. That's what the world does. They will do the best they can to reflect their idol. Every sport the same, whether you talk about tennis or golf or whatever it is, they're going to dress like them, talk like them, walk like them, and play like them. In the world, it's the same. You are in the business world. So you look up to a businessman. So who do you want to look up to? And you're going to imitate and hope that one day you're going to be like that person. And I'm sure you're going to look up to somebody who is so-called successful with billions of dollars. And so you're going to imitate his philosophy, try to be like him, hoping that one day you're going to arrive and literally be like him. That's the world. That was what we used to do. Now that we are God's children, the Bible says, quicken, raise up together, raise from the dead, all ready to sit together in the heavenly places. A powerful work of God has been done in your life and in my life. And God says, you are now to only reflect one image, and that is Jesus Christ. All of us who are His children. Only one. So you ask your wife. She should know you best. If you are married, can you see Christ in me? Seriously. Then the husband, you tell your wife, your wife asks you, can you see Christ in me? Because if you can't, you think the children can? You think your colleagues can? Those who go to work, those you meet. Can they see Christ in you? Because that's what they need. Because everything else, they see you as a very clever engineer. They see you as a very smart teacher. They see you as whatever profession that you're doing, you may get awards for all these things. So what? Then what? Will they still die in sin and end up in hell because they now see in you a marvelous picture of the best doctor, the best engineer, the best teacher, the best taxi driver, the best whatever? It doesn't matter. Will they go to heaven? Will they still die in sin and hell? You know they will. But only one person that they must see whereby they will no longer die in sin and end up in hell. And that is Jesus Christ. The only name under heaven that can save them from sin, death and hell. Because we know, we have experienced it. Have we not? Then why do we who have experienced this amazing transformation in our lives want to put that aside and then put on the image, the workmanship of somebody else? Why do we do that? It makes no sense. This was what we have set aside when we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. You mean after salvation, we want to put mud back on our faces after we have been washed clean? It makes no sense. Either check your salvation or don't look at your family members and friends and say that I love you. You don't love them. You despise them. Don't you dare say to your children you care for them when they can't see Christ in you. When all you care about your children's life are their grades, are their carnal qualifications and carnal activities. Nothing spiritual. So don't say you love them. Actually, you despise them. You want to see them in hell. Because they can't see Christ in you. Because you know the truth. You know what they need the most is Jesus Christ. And therefore, husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, please, be Christian husbands and wives, be Christian fathers and mothers, for Jesus' sake, and also for their sakes. And for our sakes. Because we are all in the same church. You know how heartbroken and heartbreaking it is to know of couples, to know of people who are still fighting and can't stand each other and don't want to fix the relationship when they know they should. All they need to do is one party to make the first move, to say, I am sorry. We are the workmanship of Jesus Christ. What better way to do it is to show it by your obedience to the Word of God. But they don't deserve. Yes, they don't deserve. You are right, they don't deserve. But you don't do it because they deserve it. Then there will not be grace. That will be reward and payment because they deserve it. You do it because it is grace. The grace that you have received from your Heavenly Father. You do it because of Jesus Christ, your Lord and your Savior. You do it. Is that so hard? You think it was easy for Jesus Christ to come down from heaven? To go to the cross? Do you know the night before he was betrayed. He prayed at the Garden of Gethsemane that he was so weak that he was near death, that he sweated drops of blood. You think it was easy, even though he knew what he was going to do? You think it was easy? You think it was easy for him to hang on the cross and to have the Heavenly Father, who had all the power at his disposal, to deliver him and to free him, and the Father did not do anything and allow the Son to die on the cross because of his love for you and for me? You think it was easy? And now God says, please, please know this. We are His workmanship, created by God in Christ Jesus to do what? To do good works. In the past, we can't do anything that is characterized by goodness. All our works are stained by sin. And the Bible says our good works as unbelievers from man's standpoint may be very good, but from God's standpoint, filthy, dirty rags. That's what it was. And that's what you must never let it become again as a child of God. Now that you have the Holy Spirit in you, you have the fruit of the Spirit in you, you have the image of Christ in you, now God says you are different now. You can do works that are characterized by goodness. Who called them good? Your Heavenly Father called them good. The good God called them good. Now, why don't you do more good works? What kind of good works? Not just do social work, please. Not just social work. Social work alone without Christ is meaningless. That means go out and tell the people, look at my life, I am a Christian. Tell them you are a Christian, then live the life of a Christian. When you go to work, go to office, conduct yourself using the Bible as your guide. That's what it means to do good works as a Christian. That's why a person who is saved for service, you must know who you are. Do you know who you are? You are God's workmanship. Don't forget that. God is continuing to shape you, to mold you, so that the image of Christ will become clearer and sharper for ministry's sake. And sometimes there will be trials. Sometimes there will be difficulties, persecutions. And all these are part and parcel of shaping us that the image of Christ may be clearer and clearer. So if somebody were to ask you, who are you? Do you know who you are? We're not talking about your IC card, your address. We're not talking about your birthplace. We're not talking about your name. We're not talking about where you graduate from. We're not talking about what titles you hold in your office. All these is not what the Bible means when the Bible says we are God's workmanship. We are God's workmanship because God continues to shape us and mold us so that the image of Christ will become clearer and clearer in our lives. That's what it means. Because God wants people to see Christ in your life by the way that you speak, your words, your thoughts, your heart, your motives, and definitely your deeds. Where you go, what you do, how you dress. Your dressing. Let's begin with your dressing. Let's begin with your attitude. Your attitude toward God's things. Your dressing. Modesty, please. Modesty. Don't let the fashion of the world dictate. There are some dressings that are not God-honoring. Please don't. There are some hairstyles that are not. Please don't. Change. Don't just follow blindly. Please. You are God's child. Don't go and tattoo your body as some kind of a fashion statement. This is sinful, unbiblical, against God's word. Your attitude toward the things of God. Coming to church. Come to church on time. Come to church with a heart that is prepared. Come to church with a mind that is filled with the things of God. Come to church with a heart that is alive, because this is the Lord's day. This is a day that reminds me of who I am on this earth, that I am a child of God on my way to heaven, and this is my time on earth for service, because God has saved me and allowed me to remain on earth for service. Change your attitude. Everything. Come for prayer meeting. Come for Bible study. Study the Word of God. Let the Word of God become your daily diet. Change. Why? Because I am God's workmanship. And the Word of God, Christian fellowship, Christian friends are all part and parcel of ways that God will use to change me and transform me to become more and more like Christ. Bible says, provoke one another unto love and to good deeds. Good deeds. Love unto good deeds. Change our motivation as well as change our deeds. God has saved you. God has equipped you with a gift. And God wants you to use it, and you cannot when you don't mix and don't be around. You disappear. You cannot do that. You are robbing us of our spiritual growth. Do you know that? When you are not here to do your part in exercising the gift that God has given to you, the Bible says that we are both laborers and the building. When I am using my gift and you are blessed by my gift, then when you are being blessed by my gift, then you are the building, I'm the laborer together with God. But when you are using your gift and I am blessed by your gift, then at that time I'm the building, you are the laborer together with God. This is all taught in scriptures. That's how you must look at your life. We are part of God's family. The Lord's Day is the beginning of the week. Monday to Saturday is where you go out into the world after you spend time with God's family and with God to prepare yourself for the week that is ahead of you. Remember, this world is a dangerous world. God has saved us and put us in a dangerous place. And therefore, God give us the church, the headquarters of safety. This is safety. This is where we encourage one another. We don't kill one another. We don't hurt one another. This is where we encourage one another. We build each other up to prepare ourselves for the spiritual battle that we go out there from Monday to Saturday. And then Sunday we come back again to recharge, rejuvenate, and to encourage one another in the things of the Lord so that we will not allow the tentacles of the world to grip us and to hold our heart and our lives. That's what it means by workmanship. God is using you and me, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, many multiple ways to make sure that the image of Christ is seen by our good works. Know yourself before you can be saved for service. Second half of verse 10. Know your purpose. Know yourself and know your purpose, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ordained, prepared by God beforehand. Your life is no accident. Your life has been shaped and molded by God. And God has prepared you even before you were aware of it. God knew that when He saved you, you will belong to the Noah category. God knows. And that's why God allows you to remain on earth. And that's why you must live in Christ Jesus and continue to do more and more good works, because that is the purpose, only purpose for you to be here. No other purpose. Can you remember this? Can you realize this? Don't exchange it for anything else. It will be a poor substitute, because there is no image greater than the image of Christ, because there is no name under heaven that a person can be saved except Christ. That's why John the Baptist understood this very well when he said, I must decrease, Christ must increase. I must decrease, Christ must increase. I must decrease, Christ must increase. That means they will see less and less of John the Baptist. They will see more and more of Christ. And that's what we must do too. And it will take us an entire lifetime to decrease, to decrease, and to decrease, and to decrease. And to let the image of Christ become sharper and clearer, sharper and clearer. And that's how our children, when they look at mom and dad, why would they not want to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and the Savior? Unless the image of Jesus Christ presented by mom and dad is not the Jesus of the Bible. Because the Jesus of the Bible is a wonderful Savior. If your children believe everything that you teach them, everything that you give them, everything that you say to them, why would they not want to believe in Jesus Christ as well? Unless they see only hypocrites. They see mom and dad putting up a show in church, but they don't behave as Christians at home. That's the way. That's the reason, isn't it? Because if they can truly see the image of Jesus Christ in your life, and Jesus is indeed truly a wonderful Savior, is He not? Is the Jesus Christ of the Bible not an amazing, wonderful Savior, a good, good God? Yes, He is. And if your children see such a wonderful Savior since infancy, they believe everything you teach them. Everything. Why would they not want to believe the very best of everything? And that is Jesus Christ. They will. They must. They shall. Unless Your life is given this God honoring purpose. This is an honor and a privilege. Because when you look at your life, you just imagine. Imagine what we were like before salvation. Imagine how weak we are. We are still weak. We still make mistakes. We still falter. We are like a broken chisel and a broken hammer. And then you have this great, mighty artist using a broken chisel and a broken hammer. And then we'll use this to carve out this beautiful, beautiful statue out of this block of stone. We are that broken chisel and broken hammer. And the block of stone will be the lives of the people around you. God can use us. God wants to use us. That's why He has saved us and allowed us to remain on earth. That God has created us and ordained us to do these good works as evidence of our salvation. This is the ministry. Please don't replace it. Please don't distort it. Please don't destroy it. Your relationship begins with God's word. Your relationship begins with God. Then only will your relationship and your attitude toward your possessions be changed. Then your attitude and your relationship with people will also change. You must pray that God will give you a thirst and a hunger for His truth. You must pray and ask God to forgive you for loving mammon and money and turn back to the Lord if you are truly God's children, God's, you're born again in Christ. No other way. Please. The world is dying in sin. We have enough damage done by the ecumenical movement with all their confusion, where the Jesus Christ that they proclaim is not the Jesus of the Bible, but some other Jesus that will lead them still to hell. You have the truth. You have the Jesus of the Bible with you, in you. Why are you not telling the world that you have this only Savior who can save people out of hell and death and into heaven and life? What would people call you if you have the only cure for Ebola? And you know it is a frightful disease. They say that if they do not put a stop to it, by December, 10,000 people will be afflicted every week. Imagine 10,000 people afflicted every week. And the mortality rate, the death rate is so high. So few people get cured. Now, if you are the only one who has the cure, and then you take the cure and you bury it, or they take the cure and you throw it away, and then they found out, what would they think of you? What would that make you? We have something better. The world is suffering from something worse than Ebola, and that is sin. And only Jesus Christ can save them out of sin, death, and hell. And you have that message. You have Christ in you. Please, evaluate and check your life. Evaluate and check your relationship with God through the study of God's word, with God in your prayer, in your giving, and then in your possessions. Do you really love God or do you love mammon? And then check your relationship with people. Make sure that your relationship with everyone and everything in your life brings glory and honor to God. We are the Noah kind of generation, category, saved for service. The question is, who are you serving? Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. That if there be any wicked way in me, lead me in the way everlasting. We thank Thee, Father, that Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. We thank Thee, Father, that we have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior with all our heart. And You have promised us in Holy Scriptures that we will be saved. For You have accepted what Jesus Christ has done for me when You raised Him from the dead for my justification. Help us, therefore, to prove to show to the world that we are indeed your children by living a life of holiness. For you have saved us for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to tell the world that Jesus is still the light to a world that is in darkness, in sin and death. And may everyone, from the youngest to the oldest, who name the name of Jesus Christ, have a deep, deep sense of evaluation of where we are before Thee. May every area of our lives, every relationship that You have blessed us with, bring glory and honor to Thy holy name. For we know that when we lived according to Holy Scriptures, it will bring blessing to others and bring glory to Thee. Help us. Hear us, O Lord, for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.